plucked his keys out of the dish by the door. A guy needed a dog, he thought. That was what was missing in his life. A good dog. Maybe he'd swing by the animal shelter after he'd had breakfast with his mother, after he put in some shop time. Nodding in satisfaction, he climbed into his truck. Sounded like a plan, and he liked a good plan. He pulled out, drove past the little barn he'd built to house the jeep and plow he used on the property, down to the main road. He made the turn, turned again into his mother's lane, to her house on the slope. The dogs bounded across the drive. Cuss, short for Atticus, with one of his many mangled balls clamped in his mouth, and his eyes wild with joy. His brother Finch gave Cuss a body block that had both dogs rolling and wrestling. Yeah, Owen thought with a grin. He definitely needed a dog. He wound the drive, puzzled for a moment when he saw Willie B's truck parked beside his mother's car. Early for a visit, Owen thought, even for Avery's father. Then again, Willie B dropped by often, Owen knew. And now that he was one of the featured artists at his mother's gift shop, he likely dropped by more with some new piece or design. Stroke of luck, Owen decided as he parked. He might be able to finesse some insight or info out of Willie B on Avery. Subtle. Subtle. He stopped long enough to snatch up the ball Cuss had dropped pleadingly at his feet. He winged it, long and hard for the dogs to chase while he hurried up to the back door. He heard the music when he was still 10 feet away and shook his head. Typical for his mom, who'd never yelled at any of her sons to turn that damn music down. She'd always blasted her own. He shoved open the door, caught the scent of bacon, of coffee. Grinning, he thought, just in time. Then his eyes all but popped out of his head. Bacon sizzled on the stove. His mother stood in front of the griddle. So did Willie B, all 6'4" of him, wearing nothing but white boxers, with his hands on Owen's mother's ass, and his mouth locked on hers. Chapter 5. He must have made some sound that cut through the blast of music and the jaw-dropping embrace. Maybe he screamed. He hoped he hadn't screamed, at least not outside of his head. But his mother, an open robe over short red pajama pants and a thin, way too thin, white tank, stepped back. Her eyes met Owen's, blinked once. Then she laughed. She laughed. Willie B had the grace to blush as red as his tumbled hair and trim beard.
What?
Owen managed, shocked to the bone.
What? You... what?
I'm fixing us some breakfast, Justine said easily, and with that laugh still fluttering on the edges. I guess I need to break some more eggs.
You... but... what?
Mom... Try to make a complete sentence, Owen. Have some coffee. She reached for a mug.
I should. Still bright red, Willie B shuffled his enormous feet. Put some pants on.
Yes!
Owen felt his hands flapping in the air, but just couldn't stop them.
That! Pants! You! Please, God!
Rumbling in his throat, Willie B scooted off like a bear toward his cave.
Mom!
That's my name.
All cheer, Justine beamed smiles.
Sit down, honey. Drink your coffee.
What?
Justine picked up tongs to take the bacon out to drain.
Finish it this time. I'll get you started.
What? What?
He had to swallow the tight, prickly ball in his throat. It didn't go down well.
What are you doing? Here! With him? Naked?
Eyebrows hiked. Justine looked down at herself.
I'm not naked.
Almost!
Obviously fighting another smile, Justine closed her robe, belted it.
Better?
Yes. No. I don't know. My head. Did my head explode?
He patted his hands over it. Without missing a beat, Justine took eggs and milk from the big refrigerator.
I was going to scramble eggs, but under the circumstances, we'll have French toast. You're partial to French toast. You haven't had breakfast, have you?
No, Mom. I don't understand this.
What part of this don't you understand, baby?
Any of it. All of it.
All right, let me explain. When people grow up, they often want to be close to each other. It's best if they really like and respect each other. An important part of that closeness includes sex, which means...
Mom!
Heat crept up his neck, but he wasn't sure what emotion kindled it.
Cut it out!
So you do understand that part. Willie B and I really like and respect each other, and sometimes we have sex.
Don't say Willie B and sex with you in the same sentence.
Then I can't explain, can I? Suck it up, Owen,
she advised and offered him a slice of bacon.
But...
He took the bacon. He couldn't defog his brain to speak coherently.
I loved your father. So, so much. I was 18 when I first saw him. My very first day on the job for Wilson Contractors. There he was, standing on that ladder, torn jeans, big boots, tool belt, no shirt, and oh my God. She laid a hand on her heart. I couldn't see straight the rest of the day. Tom Montgomery. My Tommy.
She got out a bowl, began to mix the eggs and milk with a fork.
I couldn't even pretend to be coy when he asked me out. I never went out with anyone else from that first date. Never wanted anyone else. I never loved anyone like I did your daddy.
I know, Mom.
We had a good life. He was such a good man. Smart, strong, funny. Such a good man, such a good father. We built the business together because we wanted our own. And this house, this family. It's all got Tommy all over it. All of you have him in you. Some of it in the way you are, some in the way you look. You got his mouth, Beckett his eyes, Ryder his hands, and more. I treasure that.
I'm sorry.
Watching her. Hearing her, he felt his heart drop into his guts.
I'm sorry. Don't cry.
They aren't sad tears. They're grateful ones.
She added sugar, a dash of vanilla, generous shakes of cinnamon.
We had a wonderful, interesting, busy life together, and he died. You don't know. I never let you know. How mad I was at him for dying on me. So mad for weeks, months. I don't know how long. He wasn't supposed to die on me. We were supposed to be together forever. And then he was gone. He's gone, Owen. And I'll miss him as long as I live.
Me too.
She reached across the counter, laid a hand over Owen's. Then turned, got a loaf of bread. Willie B. loved Tommy. They were as close as you boys are to each other.
I know that. I know that, Mom.
We needed each other when Tommy died. We needed somebody else who'd loved him, who could tell stories about him. Somebody to lean on, to cry on, to laugh with. And that's what we did. All we did for a long time. Then a couple years ago, let's just say I started fixing him breakfast now and again.
A couple years?
Maybe I should have told you.
She shrugged as she dunked bread in the milk and eggs.
Maybe I wasn't sure I wanted to talk about my sex life with my grown sons. And the fact is, Willie B's shy.
Are you in love with him?
I love him. Of course I do. I have for years, just like Tommy loved him. He's a good man, you know that. He's a good father. And he had to raise Avery alone when her mother took off the way she did. He's got kindness layered all the way through him. In love,
Coated bread sizzled on the griddle. We enjoy each other, Owen. Like being together when we have time. We each have our own place, our own lives, our own family. We're happy the way things are, and that's enough for anyone. Now, can I tell him to come on down, have some breakfast?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I should go.
You sit right there. I made enough egg batter for a damn army. She stepped out of the kitchen, set her hands on her hips, and called out. Willie B., you've got your pants on by now, so come on down here and have your breakfast. Stepping back, she flipped another line of bread, plated bacon and French toast, slid plates over the counter. By the time Willie B. shuffled in, she'd put another line of bread on the griddle. Sit down and eat, she ordered. Don't let it get cold.
It looks real good, Justine.
Rumbling in his throat, Willie B. sat on the stool beside Owen. Out of the corner of her eye, Justine gave Owen the look.
So, how's it going, Willie B.?
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
With no real choice, Owen dumped syrup on his toast.
The end's coming along real nice, Willie B. ventured. It sure makes a picture on the square. Your dad, he'd be real proud and pleased.
He would.
Owen sighed. The women have put some of your fancy work around. It looks good in there.
Oh, don't that beat all?
At the stove, Justine flipped more bread and smiled as the two men stumbled their way through breakfast conversation. He got through it. He still wasn't sure what to think about it, but he got through breakfast with his mother's... with Willie B. The dogs trooped out to the shop with him, with Cuss, always hopeful, carrying one of his balls. Owen flipped on the lights, the shop radio, boosted the heat up, and after 30 minutes of fumbling gave it up. His brain just refused to engage, and he wouldn't risk his hand at the fancy work. He turned down the heat, turned off the radio, the lights... The dogs dutifully followed him out. To please Cuss, he gave the ball a solid kick before climbing back into his truck. Straight, sweaty carpentry, he decided, and headed over to Beckett's property. He had enough brain in him to do some framing in on the extra rooms they'd added on for Claire's boys. He spotted his brother's trucks as he drove back, and couldn't decide if it relieved or unnerved him. What did he say? Did he say anything? Of course he did. He had to tell them. Plus it meant he wouldn't be flustered and weirded out alone. He heard the music from Hammer and Saw and Beckett's iPod as he got his tool belt out of the truck. The place was coming along, Owen thought, especially considering work on it was squeezed in and juggled around the inn project. They had the addition to the original unfinished structure under roof, thank God, considering the weather. Windows looked good, he decided, and would offer a nice view. The decks and patios for outdoor living would have to wait till spring, but if they could knock the rest out by April, Beckett and his new family could move in right after the wedding. He went in through what would be the kitchen door, did a short walk-through before climbing the temporary stairs to the second floor. Freaking huge, he thought, but suppose that made sense for a family of five. The generous master suite included a full-size fireplace the boys had told Beckett their mom had always wanted. Another full bath linked two more bedrooms. Another bathroom, another two bedrooms spread out on the second level, he recalled. As he headed toward the noise, D.A. wandered over to greet him. The dog sat, eyes trained on Owen's face. He thumped his tail.
I got nothing.
Owen spread his empty hands before giving D.A. a rub. He avoided saying the words food or eat so D.A. didn't get any false hope. He walked into one of the bedrooms where Beckett ran the saw and rider framed in a closet.
You don't call? You don't write?
Owen said over the din. With a grin, Beckett straightened, pulled off his safety glasses.
Rye just showed up. I should have known you wouldn't be far behind. Appreciate it. No donuts?
Ryder asked, and D.A. thumped his tail.
Not on me.
Claire's opening the store this morning, then picking up the kids from her parents about noon, running some errands. She can pick up some subs or whatever. They're coming here to help anyway. Pity him. Beckett gave Ryder a shrug. Dad gave us plenty of on-the-job training when we were their age. I didn't know enough to pity him at the time. And speaking of time, you could have saved a lot of it by cutting back on the bedrooms. What do you need five for, anyway? Unless Claire won't sleep with you.
One for each kid, Owen said. Master suite, guest room.
Pull-out down in the family room would take care of anybody who stayed over. Or same deal in the office. Actually, we're going to need five. We're going to have another kid.
Owen paused in the act of pulling off his coat.
Claire's pregnant?
Not yet. We're waiting until after we actually get married. But then it's full steam ahead. You don't make a kid with steam, Ryder pointed out, then lowered his hammer. Four kids? Seriously?
It's just one more than three.
Owen shook his head.
I think when it comes to kids, the number increases exponentially. But what the hell? You guys are great with three. You should be great with four.
Mom will go nuts at the idea of another grandkid. Ryder pulled out some framing nails.
Ah, speaking of Mom. I figured to do some shop work, so I stopped by the house this morning.
To mooch breakfast? Ryder concluded.
It was a factor. So anyway,
Willie B. was there.
Another breakfast moocher.
Pulling down his goggles, Beckett reached for the saw.
Don't turn that on yet.
A man could lose a finger, Owen thought. With a frown, Beckett pulled his glasses off again.
Is there a problem with Mom?
No. I don't know. No. It's not a problem for her anyway.
Who's got a problem? Ryder demanded.
Just let me finish, damn it. I went in the kitchen, and Mom was already cooking breakfast, and Willie B. was there. In nothing but his boxers, and they're, you know.
Now Ryder set his hammer aside.
They're what, exactly?
They're...
Owen made a circle with his arms.
Except Willie B.'s hands are on Mom's ass, and she's wearing a robe, but it's open, and there's not all that much she's wearing under it, and I don't want to talk about that part.
He had his hands on her, Ryder said softly. Okay. He's big, but he's old. I can take him.
Hold on.
Beckett shot out a hand, shoved Ryder back.
Are you saying Mom and Willie B. are...
That's what I'm saying.
And they have been for a couple years now. Fuck, Ryder muttered. Don't say fuck when he's telling us about Mom and Willie B. I don't want that verb and those names together in my head.
Beckett walked over, picked up the liter of Coke he'd brought along, gulped straight from the bottle.
Everybody take a breath, okay? You're saying Mom and Willie B. are... involved.
She says they're...
involved now and then.
She laid it out for me when he went up to put some pants on. They've been friends forever. They both loved Dad. You know he loved Dad. That's no bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Rye,
Beckett murmured.
Okay, shit. Okay, yeah, they were tight. It's not bullshit. But if this is all good for Mom, why are they sneaking around?
It's more being discreet, I think. At least that's how it struck me once she'd laid it out. She talked to me about how she felt when Dad died, and she cried.
Shit.
Ryder paced to the window, stared out.
She and Willie B. care about each other. We know that. They leaned on each other when Dad died. We know that, too. I guess, after a while,
they started leaning on each other naked.
God damn it, Rye!
Beckett pressed his fingers to his eyes.
Stop putting those pictures in my head! They're in mine, so they might as well be in yours, too. It still feels like I should go punch him. At least one good punch, on principle.
She wouldn't like it, Owen shrugged.
And he's still Willie B., so you know he'd let you punch him if you needed to do it.
God damn it. He would, too. It's no good that way. I've got to think about this.
Jaw tight, Ryder picked up his hammer, set a framing nail, and wailed on it.
I guess we all do.
Beckett put his safety glasses on, turned on the saw. Nodding, Owen strapped on his tool belt. It was better to work, he decided, better to push through the strange day with the smell of sawdust and the sounds of nails hammered into wood. By the time Claire and the kids arrived with provisions, they'd finished framing in on the second floor and had started on the main level.
You work so fast!
Claire wandered what would be her office, her own home office, off the kitchen.
We got a system.
Beckett draped an arm over her shoulders as the boys stomped around the subflooring.
It works. Well, we're here to help, if we can. And as payment, I've got beef stew in the crock pot. A manly meal for manly men.
I'm in, Owen told her. I hate to miss it, but I've got a date.
Ryder tossed a hunk of his sub in the air. Dumbass caught the high fly like a veteran center fielder.
Can you teach Ben and Yoda to do that?
Liam demanded.
Stuff just bounces off their face mostly.
D.A. here. He was born knowing how to field food, but yeah, we could teach them.
Not in the house,
Claire said absently as she pored over the blueprints. Ryder just grinned at the boy, broke off another small hunk.
Go ahead, practice with D.A.
D.A. stands for dumbass, Murphy announced. But we're not supposed to say ass. It's a bad word.
Depends, doesn't it?
On how?
Well,
considering, Ryder took a pencil out of his tool belt, drew on the sub-flooring.
What's that?
It's a donkey. You draw good.
Nah, it's a jackass.
Mom! Ryder drawn a jackass on the floor!
Drew, Claire corrected, and sent Ryder a sighing look.
I like to draw. Can I draw on the floor?
Ryder handed over the pencil.
Have at it, midget.
Happily, Murphy sat on the floor and drew a box with a triangle on top.
This is gonna be our house when we get married.
Liam trooped over to Owen.
I need more for D.A. to catch.
Owen obliged him with a chunk of sub.
You're gonna be our uncle.
That's what I hear.
So you have to buy us Christmas presents.
I guess I do.
I got a list.
A man after my own heart. Where is it?
On the refrigerator at home. It's only 10 more days till Christmas.
Then I better get on it.
Liam looked across the room where Beckett was teaching Harry how to hammer in a stud.
I want a hammer too.
Then you better help me finish framing in the pantry.
What's the pantry?
It's where your mom's going to keep food.
That's the refrigerator.
Not everything goes in the fridge, kid. How about cans of soup?
I like chicken and stars.
Who doesn't?
Let's get it done. Despite the endless stream of questions, he liked working with the kid, showing him how to measure, how to mark, how to hold a hammer. And he figured it showed their simpatico when Liam lasted nearly an hour before he joined Murphy on the floor with a pile of action figures. He gave Claire credit, too.
She fetched, she carried, she drove in a few nails herself, and rode herd on the kids.
He remembered his mother doing much the same when they'd added on to the house. His father always had a project going. After they knocked off, he found himself flattered when Liam asked to ride with him. They strapped the booster seat in the truck, strapped the kid in it.
Where's your house? Liam wanted to know.
Right down the road, or through the woods if you're walking.
Can I see it?
Sure, I guess.
It wasn't much of a detour. Owen made the turns, cruised up his lane. He'd strung a few lights, had the tree centered in the front window, all on timer so they sparkled against the December dark.
Ours is bigger,
Liam announced.
Yeah, it is. There are more of you.
Do you live here all by yourself?
That's right.
Why?
Because it's my house.
You don't have anybody to play with?
He hadn't thought of it quite that way. I guess not. But Ryder lives right over that way, and when your place is finished, you guys will be right over that way.
Can I come play at your house?
Sure. He hadn't thought of that either, but hell, it might be fun. Yeah.
Okay.
Owen turned the truck around, started toward the road.
I'm going to get a dog.
Dogs are good,
Liam nodded wisely.
You can play with them. And you have to feed them and teach them to sit. They keep bad guys away. A bad guy came in our house, but the dogs were just puppies.
Owen debated a response. He wasn't sure how much the boys knew about Sam Fremont.
You have good dogs.
They're bigger now, but they're still puppies. But they'll keep bad guys away when they grow up. The bad guy came in and scared my mom.
I know. But she's okay, and the bad guy's in jail.
Beckett came and stopped him, and you and Ryder came too.
That's right.
If Liam needed to talk about it, Owen concluded. It worried at the kid.
You don't have to worry, Liam. We've got your back.
Because Beckett and Mom are getting married.
Because of that, yeah, and just because.
If the bad guy tries to come back and Beckett's not there, Harry and I will fight him, and Murphy'll call 911, then Beckett. We talked about it. We practiced.
That's smart.
And when the dogs get big, if he tries to come back, they'll bite him.
Liam slid his gaze toward Owen.
In the dumb ass.
With a laugh, Owen gave Liam a light slap on the head.
Damn right.
After dinner, while Claire hauled the boys up for a bath, Owen relayed the conversation to Beckett.
Bite him in the dumb ass. Kids got away.
Claire and I talked to them after it happened. Played it down, but played it straight. Still, they heard stuff at school, so Harry called a powwow, and they came to me about it.
Keep the women out of it?
Beckett glanced toward the stairs.
Maybe that's not politically correct or even correct, but it feels right in this case. They need to know we're covered, and that I trust them to help take care of their mom.
We'd have done the same.
Yeah, we would. Speaking of, I was able to tell Claire about that situation on the way home. You pitch the radio to a certain level, your voices to another. You can actually have a conversation that doesn't carry to the back seats. Plus, we used a lot of code.
What did she say?
What you'd expect. Mom's entitled to a life. She's a vital woman. Willie B's a good man. Blah, blah. I mean, she's right, but still.
It wasn't her mother and Willie B mostly naked in the kitchen.
On a sigh, Beckett closed his eyes. And thank you for that fresh image to add to my growing collection.
We could start trading them, like baseball cards.
That triggered a laughing shake of the head. The other thing, when I talked to Claire about it, she didn't really seem surprised.
What do you mean?
Owen lowered his after-dinner beer.
Like she already knew?
That, or one of those woman's radar deals. With stuff like this, they're kind of like bats. Anyway, I started to ask her, but then Harry and Murphy started on each other, and that was the end of adult conversation.
The thought slapped hard into his brain. If Claire already knew, then Avery,
son of a bitch, could have been that radar.
Avery's a woman. She has radar. She's as much of a bat as any of them. Plus, it's her father groping our mother.
Stop! Stop!
Beckett covered his ears.
If she knew, she should have told me.
Now the thought rooted in his brain, sprouted like a weed.
I'd have told her.
We know now, and I guess we're going to have to get used to it.
Owen started to respond, but Harry ran in, shiny from his bath, in his X-Men pajamas, and announced a Wii tournament. Roped in, Owen gave it an hour. He liked the kids. He liked Wee. But he just couldn't get the idea of Avery keeping the situation from him out of his head. He chewed at it all the way home, sat in the truck chewing over it some more. Then he turned around, drove back to town. He went into Vesta from the back.
"Hey, Owen!"
Franny stood behind the counter slicing up a large pizza.
"What can we get for you?"
"Is Avery around?"
"You just missed her. She's running some deliveries. More people calling in than coming in tonight. I'm closing, so she's going to go right on up when she gets back. I can give her a call if it's important."
"No, nothing important. I'll catch her later. How are you feeling?"
"Back to normal. Are you really opening the inn next month?"
"Yeah, we are."
"I'm spreading the word."
"Keep spreading. I'll see you later, Franny." He went out the back and, after a quick debate, went up the stairs rather than down. She had to come back sometime. He considered the fact that he had keys. He was the landlord, after all. But that crossed the line. Instead, he sat on the floor outside her apartment door, took out his phone. He passed the time reading and answering emails, texts. He checked the time. Wondered where the hell her deliveries were. Portugal? He wished he'd hit Franny up for coffee. Tried to entertain himself with some Angry Birds. He closed his eyes, just to rest them for a minute. And the restless night caught up with him. He fell asleep on the floor, his trusty phone still in his hand. Chapter 6. Hauling grocery bags, Avery shoved open the stairwell door, adjusted her load. Out of habit, she paused on the landing, checked the lock on Vesta's rear door, then climbed up to her apartment level. And stopped, frowning at the picture of Owen propped against her door, eyes closed, phone in hand.
"What's the deal?"
she demanded, and when he didn't respond, realized he was dead asleep. "For God's sake," muttering, she stepped closer, kicked him.
"Ow! What? Damn it! What the hell are you doing?"
"Waiting for you." Annoyed, he rubbed his hip where her shoe, canary yellow tonight, had hit. "Where the hell were you?"
"I had deliveries, then I swung into the grocery store. I ran into a friend and we..."
She stopped, glared.
"Why am I explaining to you? Why are you sleeping on the floor in front of my apartment?"
"Because you weren't home. I wasn't sleeping. I was just... thinking." He pushed to his feet, blinked at her.
"Your hair's wet." "It's spitting some sleet. Move, will you? These are getting heavy."
He blinked again, then reached out and took the bags. She unlocked the door, walked in ahead of him. He crossed the living room, went straight to the kitchen, dumped the bags on the counter. Watching him, she peeled off her coat, unwound her scarf.
"How long were you out there?"
"What time is it?" Even as he checked his watch, she arched her eyebrows.
"It's what the hell's going on o'clock?"
She tossed her coat and scarf over the back of a chair on her way to the counter. "That's what I want to know."
"You're the one sleeping on the doorstep,"
she said as she began stowing groceries. Unlike her living room, which he considered messy and she considered a living room, her cupboards and refrigerator were meticulously organized. "I wasn't sleeping. I maybe nodded off for a minute, and that's beside the point."
"What point?"
"You knew. You knew what was going on and didn't tell me."
"I don't tell you a lot of things."
Eyes narrowed on him. She began plucking eggs out of the carton and laying them in the bin.
"Be more specific."
"You knew your father was sleeping with my mother." The egg slipped out of her fingers, hit the floor like a little bomb.
"What?"
"Okay. You didn't know." Owen stuffed his hands in his pockets. "Now you know."
"I say again, what?"
"My mother, your father." At a loss, he pulled his hands free, rolled them in the air.
"Get out."
"Really? No.
She laughed a little, yanked off some paper towels, dampened them to deal with the broken egg.
You must have had some dream while you were camped at my door.
Yes, they are. And no, I didn't. Still shaking her head, she dampened another towel, scrubbed off the tile.
Where do you get this? On a short trip to Bizarro World?
From me, myself, my own freaking eyes. He forked his fingers, pointed at them. I went over to the house this morning. I walked in on them. Avery's jaw dropped as she slowly straightened.
You walked in on your mom and my dad? In bed?
No, thank God. They were in the kitchen.
Jesus!
Gaping, she took a step back.
They were having sex in the kitchen?
No, shut up! Appalled, Owen slapped his hands over his eyes.
Now I really know what Beckett means about images in the head. Oh, God.
You're not making any sense. At all. Start over, he ordered himself, because Avery had a point. I went over. They were in the kitchen. Your father's in his boxers. My mom's wearing this little thing, and they were hands, lips, tongues. She stared a moment, then held up one finger. Turning, she opened a cupboard, took out a bottle of Glenfiddich and two lowball glasses. Without a word, she poured two fingers in each, handed one to Owen. She knocked hers back, took a careful breath.
One more time. Our parents are sleeping together.
That's what I said.
And you walked in on them, scantily dressed and groping each other in your mom's kitchen.
I'm telling you. Now he downed his whiskey. When she began laughing, he assumed hysteria, but it only took a moment to recognize genuine humor.
You think this is funny? One part is, you walking in on them.
She pressed a hand to her belly.
Oh, I wish I could have been there to see your face. I bet it was like...
She mimed exaggerated shock and horror, then fell into fits of laughter again. He had a bad feeling she'd nailed it. To compensate, he bared his teeth in a snarl.
I guess you'd have been... Hey, toss some more bacon on the griddle for me. She was making breakfast? That's nice.
Nice? You think it's nice?
Yeah, I do. Don't you?
I don't know what I think. With a nod, Avery went back to stowing groceries.
Let me ask you something. Do you think your mother should be alone for the rest of her life?
She's not alone.
Owen.
She turned her head, gave him a quiet look. I don't know. No. No. It's just that I never thought about it. Her. That way.
Now that you are, do you think she's entitled to have someone in her life?
Yeah, I guess.
Have you got a problem with my father?
You know I don't. Willie B. He's the best.
He's the best, Avery agreed. So you're not pleased your mother's with the best?
He fumbled to a stop. If you're going to be all rational and mature...
Sorry. In this case, I must. They're good friends. Long-time good friends. So, they'll be good for each other.
Smiling, she folded her market bags.
I tried to fix him up a couple times. It never worked out. I didn't like knowing he didn't have anyone. My mother did such a number on him.
On both of you, Owen thought. Mom told me they'd been... He rolled his hands in the air again. A couple years.
A couple years?
Shaking her head again, she poured another round of whiskey.
Willie B., you're so deep. Who knew? I didn't have a clue. How could I have not had a clue?
None of us did. I started thinking you knew, and you hadn't told me.
I would have told you, unless they'd asked me not to.
I get that. He picked up the whiskey, stared into it.
What did my father say when you dropped in?
That he'd better go put some pants on. She snorted out a laugh, then tossed her head back, let a rolling one loose. Owen found himself grinning. It's a little easier to see the humor in it now.
Did you make that face?
she repeated her interpretation of shock and horror.
And kind of stutter? Mom, what? You?
He tried for a cool stare as she had indeed nailed it. I might have had a momentary moment.
A momentary moment?
At least I didn't punch your dad. Ryder wanted to when I told him and Beckett. Avery lifted a shoulder.
That's Rye's default, but he wouldn't punch Dad. Rye's fine with punching assholes or bullies, but he loves Willie B.
He loves me too, but he's punched me before.
Well, Owen, sometimes you're an asshole.
She smiled when she said it, sweetly, then tapped her glass to his.
To our parents.
Okay, he sipped the whiskey. Strange day, he said with a sigh. You're not pissed at me anymore.
I wasn't pissed at you.
Very much.
And now I've figured out you've got an issue with sex.
What? A close relative of Avery's shock and horror look passed over his face. I do not. Why?
See? She lifted a finger off her glass to point at him. I even say the word and you're all flustered. Issues.
I don't have issues with sex. I believe in sex. I like sex. I like lots of sex.
Strange. You kiss me and go into immediate brain freeze. You see our parents kissing and hit the panic button.
No.
Yes. Maybe.
Damn it, that has nothing to do with issues. Any normal person would have a...
momentary moment?
Smartass, he thought. She'd always been one. A reaction to seeing his mother laying a hot one on a longtime family friend. And you and me, you know that wasn't expected.
Actually, it doesn't seem that unexpected to me. But then, I don't have sexual issues.
I don't have sexual issues!
She
sipped, strolled over to the window.
Oh, it's snowing now. Pretty. God, I have to finish my Christmas shopping. You'd better go before it starts to stick.
Just wait a minute. She glanced back.
For what?
Damn it, Avery, you can't just say something like that, then say go home.
Just voicing an opinion.
When he stepped around the counter, she took the glass from his hand.
You shouldn't have any more. I know you handle it well, but still, whiskey, driving, and snow, not a good mix.
He repeated, with all the patience and potency he could muster. I don't have sexual issues.
Are we still on that? All right, my mistake. You're sexual issue free.
Don't placate me.
Jesus, Owen, what do you want from me?
Her eyes fired like lasers when he gripped her elbows, hauled her to her toes.
Watch it, she warned.
Now we're expecting it, he told her, and gave her a quick yank. She knew where his buttons were and how to push them, and could admit she'd done so. She didn't mind irritating him into kissing her. She wanted an encore, one way or the other, to see how both of them reacted.
Okay.
Deliberately, she linked her hands behind his head.
Now we're expecting it.
She moved in first, before he could overthink and pull back. Not an explosion this time, she thought, but more of a long, slow fall that picked up velocity. His hands dropped from her elbows to her hips, then molded her body inch by inch on their way up her sides. As the intensity built, he shifted her until he'd trapped her between his body and the counter. She'd manipulated him, he knew it, but didn't much care. The tang of whiskey on her tongue, the hint of lemon in her hair, the hot pulse of her body against his all tangled his senses into a slippery knot of need. He skimmed the heels of his hands along the sides of her breasts, glided his fingers over them, felt her pulse kick lightly against his palms, felt her breath quicken as the kiss deepened. Easing back, he struggled for equilibrium while she stared at him with drowsy blue eyes. Sexual issues, my ass. Humor warmed her face an instant before she laughed.
I stand corrected.
So, what now? On a sigh, she laid her hands on his cheeks, held them there briefly.
Owen,
she murmured,
then slid to the side and away.
Owen what?
What now? She picked up her glass of scotch again. Hell, she wasn't driving anywhere. We rip each other's clothes off and go to bed. If I'm any judge, we have really exceptional sex, but since you ask, you're already thinking what if and what then in addition to what now, taking that rational and mature route. So you go home and consider the what ifs and what thens until you figure it out.
The what ifs and thens matter, Avery.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You matter. You and me. You and all of us matter.
I know. The fact that you're thinking about that instead of ripping my clothes off is part of what makes you Owen, and part of the reason I'd have let you rip my clothes off.
Now he had new pictures in his brain, and found he didn't much want to hike on that rational and mature route. You're a confusing woman, Avery.
Not really. It's just I can appreciate you considering what matters and still be sorry you didn't wait to consider until after that exceptional sex.
I love you.
Oh, God, I know.
She turned away as casually as possible, terrified the tears would come, terrified they'd show.
I love you, too.
I know what to do about that, what to think about that. I don't know what to do about what to think about wanting you like this, wanting you a lot. She took a careful breath, turned back, and smiled.
That helps a lot. It's an adjustment. You never thought about me that way.
I wouldn't say never.
Really?
Steadier, she studied him over the rim of her glass.
Is that so?
Well, hell, Avery, of course I thought about it occasionally. You're gorgeous.
No, I'm not. Hope's gorgeous. I've got cute, which I can boost up to hot with time and tools. But thanks. So, what now?
She sat on the arm of a chair, studied him.
You go home before the snow gets too bad, and you do what you're wired to do. You think about it, and I'll think about it.
Okay.
He crossed to her, bent down to brush his lips over hers.
If it was anyone but you, I'd stay.
And that really didn't sound right. I know what you meant. Lucky for you. Go home, Owen.
He walked to the door, glanced back as he opened it. See you.
See you.
She sat, listening to his footsteps recede down the stairwell. Rising, she walked to the front window, stood, and watched the snow fall, and thought for a moment through the light drift of white. She saw a woman standing at the window of the inn, gazing out as she was. Waiting? She wondered. Was that what she was doing now, too? She'd never been one for waiting, but for doing, for acting. And yet, maybe she had been on some level all this time. Waiting for Owen. The idea struck her. Sweet, annoying, baffling all at once. What now? She mused again. It looked as if she had more to think about than she'd realized. It snowed through the night and into the morning. Owen kept busy most of the day plowing out his lane, his mother's, his brother's. He enjoyed the task, at least this early in the winter. The rumble of the jeep, the bump of the plow, the strategy needed to direct the snow into reasonable piles and banks. While he worked on Ryder's Lane, he spotted his brother muscling his snowblower to forge a path from the door. One out the front, Owen thought, to where Ryder parked his truck. Another out the back so D.A. could meander out and do his business away from the house. Each of them did their respective jobs with barely a wave of acknowledgement until Owen pulled into the cleared space beside Ryder's truck and turned off the jeep.
That should do it.
Good enough. Ryder agreed as he angled the snowblower under an overhang. Want a beer?
Why wouldn't I?
Together they trudged around the side, into Ryder's combination game room and home gym. They stomped off their boots, took them off on the tiled entranceway floor. Each of them peeled off layers of outerwear, hung them on pegs. D.A. wandered over, leaned briefly on Owen's leg, then stared at Ryder.
"Yeah, your way's all clear," Ryder opened the door. "That dog'll roll in the snow, run in the snow, eat the damn snow, but he won't walk through it to shit. I don't clear the path, he shits right by the door. Why is that?"
"Hence his name."
"Yeah, hence. Except I'm the one out in the cold blowing snow."
They walked upstairs into the kitchen, where Ryder pulled out two beers.
"How was the date?" Owen asked him.
"She's a lawyer, right? Smart. I like smart. Got a killer body."
Ryder took a long pull of the beer.
"She can even talk sports, which is a big check in the plus column. So I ask myself, why don't I want to close this deal?"
"And the answer is?"
"The giggle. I figured it out last night. She giggles. A lot. I think it's supposed to be adorable, but it's fucking annoying."
"The giggle's a deal-breaker?"
"It's grating, man!"
Ryder shoved at his hair, as he did whenever he was overdue for a trim.
"Nails on the blackboard, grating. And I think, what if we're heating up the sheets and she giggles?"
He held up a finger, curved it down.
"I know it. So why go there?"
"Earplugs?"
"Good thought, but I don't think so. I'd feel her giggle, or wonder if she was about to giggle. It's not worth it."
"Strict, but fair."
At home, Owen dropped into a chair at Ryder's black-topped kitchen table.
"Got any food?"
"I got Hot Pockets." He opened a cupboard. "I got taco chips and salsa."
"Consider all that my fee for the plowing."
"Done."
Ryder rooted through the freezer.
"Chicken or steak?"
"Chicken."
Once he'd stuck a few in the microwave, he tossed the chips on the table, dumped salsa in a bowl. He tore off some paper towels, pulled out some plates, and considered it done.
"You're like the male Martha Stewart," Owen commented.
"The kitchen is my temple."
Ryder went over to let the dog in, then dropped down across from Owen.
"I'm thinking about having sex with Avery."
"What is it suddenly with the Montgomery McTavish connection?"
Rye tossed D.A. a taco chip before digging one into the salsa.
"I'd rather not bring Mom and Willie B. into this. I'm still scarred."
Ryder took another pull on his beer.
"What's Avery think about having sex with you?"
"Unless she's changed her mind since last night, she's open to it."
"Then why aren't you having sex?"
"Because it's Avery."
After loading another chip with salsa, Ryder wagged it a little.
"You want me to have sex with her first? Give her a test run?"
"That's real generous of you, Rye," Owen said dryly. "But I can handle it."
"Just trying to help a brother out."
When the mic beeped, Ryder got up, tossed the Hot Pockets on the plates.
"I say ride that train."
"Why?"
"Other than the obvious reasons, because it's Avery. You've always had a little thing for her."
"I have." "So maybe."
"And she's always had a little thing for you. Otherwise, she'd have jumped me years ago."
With a grin, Ryder bit into his Hot Pocket.
"So get on board. Find out if it's a bigger thing. Where's the downside?"
"What if it gets fucked up? What if it fucks us up?"
Ryder shook his head, gave D.A. the last quarter of his Hot Pocket, took another for himself.
"It's Avery, man. Maybe it'll get fucked up. That happens more often than not, but it won't fuck the two of you up."
"Why not?"
"Because both of you are too smart for that, and like each other too much for that. Maybe it'll bring on some bumps, but you'll smooth them out. Meanwhile, you'll have sex with Red Hots."
Owen scooped up some salsa.
"She doesn't giggle."
"I rest my case."
"I'm going to think about it."
Ryder angled back, pulled open the fridge for two more beers.
"Observe my shock."
Thinking or not, work had to be done. Throughout the next week,
He ran trim, helped touch up paint, hung mirrors. He unboxed cartons, put together lamps, signed for deliveries, and climbed the flights of stairs at the inn more times than he cared to count. His mother snagged him, pulled him into Elizabeth and Darcy.
"I found the perfect little painting over at Gifts. I want you to hang it in the bathroom."
"But we're not loading in the art until..."
"That's different. I've got everything in here to finish this room. That mirror there." She pointed to the narrow wall between the two porch doors. "Your grandmother's crocheting there, and that sweet little painting right here."
She stepped into the bath, tapped the wall.
"Hope's bringing up the amenities, the towels, the little bits and bobs we've picked out. We want to see how it all looks. We want to see one room complete."
"The penthouse?"
"Gets art, so it's not really finished. I've got the art for this room right here, so we'll have it finished, all the way."
She turned to the bed with its lavender, brocade head and footboard.
"You hang while I make up this bed."
"We've still got 3 weeks before the opening party," he began, and got the glinty-eyed stare. "Okay, okay." He dug out a hanger, his pencil, then went through the lower, higher, to the right routine he expected to deal with on every piece his mother wanted hung. But he conceded she'd chosen well with the little painting, as it struck him as charming and English, airy with its pastels. Hope breezed in with a hamper loaded with towels, amenities, and the bits and bobs they'd settled on. Now he had two women telling him higher or lower until he'd satisfied them with the placement. As he hammered, they fussed with linens. He listened with half an ear to their talk of opening party plans, of reservations already booked, of additional pieces they needed, wanted, had coming in.
"Justine, those are perfect."
Hope stepped out of the bathroom to admire the framed crocheted doilies.
"They are."
Justine stopped fussing with the linen shams to nod.
"And she'd be pleased to have them here, and in J&R. I think it's lovely the way you're mixing in some of your family things. It makes it more personal."
"This whole building's personal." Justine reached out, rubbed Owen's arm.
"You hang that mirror, then I'll cut you loose. Can you take a look? See if you like the arrangement in here?"
Hope asked Justine. Owen seized the opportunity to hang the mirror without too fussing opinions as his mother went into the bath with Hope. He measured, marked, again approved his mother's choice. The mirror's frame picked up the purple tone of the occasional chair and still managed to be dainty. With his mind on his task and wandering toward others on his list, the waft of honeysuckle didn't register. He began to hum as he hammered, unconsciously picking up the tune that whispered on the air. He picked up the mirror, slid the wire over the hanger. Being Owen, he reached for the mini-level in his tool belt to check the position. And saw her. For an instant, she stood in a dove-gray dress, her hands folded at the waist of the bell of the skirt. Her blonde hair swept back from her face, bound into some sort of net at the nape with a few wispy curls escaping to flutter at her cheeks. She smiled at him. He spun around, and it was Hope. Dark hair clipped back, a dust rag hanging out of the pocket of her jeans, and her dark eyes wide against her pale face.
"Did you see that?"
Owen demanded.
"I..."
But she wasn't looking at him. She stared at the doorway to the hall. At Ryder. "When you're finished playing house with the women, I've got actual work for you," Ryder told him.
"Did you see that?"
Owen repeated.
"She was here."
"Which she? They're every damn where." He glanced toward Hope as he spoke, then he frowned. "Sit down," he ordered. When she simply stared, he strode over, took her arm, and dumped her into the pretty little chair. "Mom! Your innkeeper's having a moment." Justine rushed out, took one look, and dropped down at Hope's feet.
"Honey, what's wrong? Ryder, get her some water."
"No, no, I'm fine. I just..."
"Jesus Christ! Did anybody see that?"
Frustrated, Owen waved his arms in the air.
"Where the hell is..."
Beckett broke off as he came into the room.
What's wrong?
I saw her.